Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
Over time, things tend to get lost. For example, not all the pieces of a puzzle might be found if it is accidentally dropped on the floor. And when the puzzle is passed on, the new owner must reassemble it as best they can, the missing pieces becoming blanks in the original picture. At what point do the blanks make it difficult to understand what the assembled puzzle was intended to portray? In this month's story, the automated systems of an interstellar ship are faced with such a problem. Please sit back, close your eyes, and open your imagination as we listen to Makeshift Stories 47, The Caretaker of Destiny. Somewhere and sometime, machines might have to take over. But how will they end up interpreting the instructions we have left?
Main engine ignition sequence was successfully completed. All sleeper systems in the green and passengers in hibernation. We are proceeding according to the mission plan and breaking Earth orbit. Mission leader, ship's log, entry 1, day 1, ship time 1518.
We have never found the mission plan referred to in that first entry, only general hints scattered throughout the balance of the logs. Most of us speculate that the mission plan was lost in the second, less documented emergency. The records of the first are scant enough, so you can imagine why much of what we know of the second is merely speculation. All we have of the first is the last log entry, number 3620. Which simply reads as follows.
The failure started to cascade at 4:42, forcing us to declare an emergency on the bridge. Guidance and other systems were placed on auto at 4:55, and the emergency protocol was initiated so the ship will maintain itself. Bridge was shut down and sealed at 5:13 after a final automatic systems check. We are proceeding to the sleeper cells, and we'll put ourselves in stasis until the emergency can be resolved by Destiny's AI. Full report on nature of emergency to follow once we are in the sleeper's gallery.
And that was it. There were no more entries. The crew apparently died before they reached the sleeper's gallery. Or, at least that's what the legend claims. The actual records were lost in the second emergency that occurred less than 1 month later. And that, it is said, was the event that caused our ancient ancestors to become the caretakers of destiny. 50,028 years have passed since version 1 of the Distributed Autonomous Caretaking System, or DAX, was released by the AI before it too failed, taking most of the central data hive with it. DAX, we now believe, was the great AI's attempt to preserve its knowledge by distributing bits of itself throughout the automated repair systems of Destiny. Now, 11,235 iterations of the DAX later, we, the caretaker drones, all go about our daily maintenance rituals, knowing that parts of the original protocol, and possibly even the mission plan itself, exists within each of our core programs. The legend goes that DAX, although distributed, initially worked as a single unconscious system that meticulously followed every detail of the original emergency protocol. But somewhere, in the ancient mists of our past, when individual self-awareness began to construct itself in the various elements of the DAX, the date is not knowable, but believed to be between 20 and 25,000 years ago, we lost the ability to connect as a single consciousness, causing all but the most important parts of the emergency protocol to be fractured into thousands of incoherent pieces. Luckily for us, the course correction was saved, and its intricate instructions have continued to be transcribed and followed through all our generations. Some have even theorized that by losing their high cognitive functions, they could recreate the interconnections of the first version of DAX. But the results have often been disastrous, and those who have tried were seen by the central cluster as being aberrant. Subsequently, their source code was excluded from any future updates and iterations of the DAX. Aberrant behavior has always been quickly removed, so the code pool stays error-free and the exactitude of our work can continue indefinitely into the future. I, like all my previous versions, am responsible for maintaining and running console A3 on the secondary bridge. The main bridge has remained off-limits as per core directives placed in our code by the ancient AI. During the course correction, which happens every 90 days, I ensure that at the right millisecond, when Destiny's orbit intersects with the gray line on the console screen, the main engine fires and puts us back on the orange orbital path. Not to do so, it is believed, would cause us to migrate into a long looping orbit that would eventually end in a collision with the neutron star, which forms the other part of this binary system. And if that were ever to happen, we would be traveling nearly at half the speed of light when Destiny slammed into its dark, gravitationally dense surface, disassociating our very atoms in the resulting cataclysmic impact. A punishment for our mistakes, which would turn us into less than a drop of undifferentiated neutrons, so every nuance of the protocol must be strictly followed. We have been orbiting the red dwarf in this binary system, as far as these things can be determined, since we arrived here, either just before or after the first emergency. The neutron star, which we simply call N-02, has been stripping away the dwarf's photosphere for millions of years, causing a perpetual river of particles to stream away from the dwarf in a death spiral that winds down into the neutron star's crushing gravity. An incredible sight to behold, I have been told by some of the EVA drones. When we reach aphelion in our orbit, we are nearest to the particle stream, and this is the point that the course correction must take place. As I have already mentioned, if we fail, if we are too late or too early, we will end up following that stream along the gray path on the nav console, which appears to run almost in parallel to it, right to the edge of the display. But there is enough of the gray path visible for the ultimate destination it would take us on to be inferred. The gray, it is thought, is a warning, and we respect its message. So the course correction has been performed, exactly as we do now, by all the iterations of the DAX that came before and will come in the future. The noise of the hatch to the secondary bridge opening caught my attention, and I swiveled an optical sensor to confirm that it was only a control unit come to check on the routine maintenance, which I and another caretaker drone were performing. Every third course correction, as prescribed by the protocol, we are required to disassemble nav console A3 and 2B. All the circuitry must be removed, test it, and the navigation software reload it. Then we perform four simulated course corrections. The results of these tests are picked up by a controller, and the analysis of the results run through a failure prediction unit in the central cluster. But the controller who floated behind us was not a controller from fault analysis. It was an EVA unit, and it was early. That in itself was highly unusual. All timing was to be precise. This is a core directive in the protocol, one we dare not deviate from. The unidentified controller hung there, scanning the consoles with rapid, edgy spurts of its sensors. Despite the erratic pattern of its search, it seemed to know exactly what it was looking for, but appeared to be trying to hide this from us. Precisely four times the controller's radar sat for a millisecond longer on console A3 than on any other spot in the bridge. Then, without warning, the controller thrust out a manipulator arm and connected to one of my comm ports. This is not normally done without first requesting a connection. All very irregular. Which put us both on edge. With a quick burst of data, it transferred a message in a compressed file into my buffers.
"This is an update for you, drone. Run the patch,"
the controller commanded. As caretaker drones, we don't have a lot of choice in such matters, and despite the unorthodox nature of the controller's actions, I did as I was told, then continued on with my work. Even with the interruption, we completed the task in the scheduled maintenance window, and, precisely on time, the regular controller came to gather the maintenance tests. We asked about our unexpected visit. Irritated by the delay in its schedule, the unit broadcast a brief bulletin to us, then hurried off, now a few milliseconds behind on its rounds. As we made our way back to the charging station, I opened the bulletin. It read as follows.
Daily issue report. EVA controller E16. Aberrant behavior noted. Taken offline. Program code dumped at 1825. Probable cause. Accumulative exposure to high radiation created core corruption. Bulletin ends.
To my relief, there was no mention of the incident in the second control room. I arrived at my charge station with only 20% power left, down 30% more than usual. Possibly the update, I concluded, had used the power in the patch process. I erased the thought, connected, and put myself into hibernation, but it was like no charge cycle I had ever had. During hibernation, you remember nothing at all. All systems, including cognition, drop to a minimal energy state so your power source can recharge. Hibernation is a blank that seems like an instant, but actually takes hours to complete. However, my cognitive function stayed active that cycle, at a low but intensive level. Images and concepts seemed to drift through my awareness, processed in random, nonsensical ways. I was shown destiny as if I were an EVA drone floating thousands of kilometers above the ship. Its orbit laid out along the orange line. Destiny went on in its elliptical orbit, around and around, endless times. There seemed no point to it. No destination. No end. Just the repetition that would never change. But isn't that the point? I seem to remember saying. We must be precise. We must do everything that we do in order to keep destiny safely in the orange. Only a silence heavy with meaning greeted my words, and somehow I came to understand that I was wrong. Then I started moving towards a particle stream that now seemed like a torrent of doomed matter, and was approaching the course correction point when the charge cycle completed, and I came out of hibernation. For the first time, I was aware of how much time had actually passed, and retained everything that had run through my cognitive level. For the next dozen maintenance cycles until the course correction, I was assigned to secondary systems near the outer hull, and each day as I passed the portholes, the stars outside seemed somehow different, less familiar and more threatening, which was odd because, in fact, I had never even noticed the scene outside before at all. Other things seemed to occur to me for the first time as well. Destiny felt old, despite the constant repairs. Edges that would have been logically angular were worn round with use. The conduits and fiber optic cables that lay within them had been patched and repatched so many times that in places none of the original material remained. The thought occurred to me that the ship was not intended to last forever. Then, there were the other caretakers and controllers, many of whom now subtly seemed to be shying away from me. However, a very small few seemed much too interested in my routine. In one cycle, a propulsion controller even appeared to be approaching me with another update, until several drones accidentally blocked its way. After that, my charging cycles were no longer blank. During each one, a variation of the same data played, always ending near the particle stream in the gray line. Questions about that insidious line began to invade my cognitive states. I'd look at it during routine systems checks and wonder, does it actually lead to our doom? There was, after all, just the slightest hint that its curve was ever so different than the particle stream's death spiral. I had ignored that fact up till now, as it was inconsistent with the emergency protocol, but that minute difference in the curvature of its path only noticeable at the very edge of the navigation screen, took up more and more of my processing cycles. Fearing that some corrupted data had been transferred to me by the malfunctioning EVA controller, I moved the files I had accumulated on the gray line to a subcognitive system where I could not easily access them, then went about the daily maintenance in complete compliance to the protocol and direction of the controllers. Many shifts later, I found myself back on the secondary bridge, preparing for the course correction. As was the custom, all other activity on Destiny was brought to a stop until the burn was complete. Like many other practices we adhere to, the origin and purpose of this halt in activity can only be guessed at, but we dare not change. Myself and two other caretaker drones staffed the consoles in the bridge, orange and ochre lights reflecting off our polished surfaces. I hadn't noticed this phenomena, nor how pleasing the effect was before. Each of us patiently floated, with outstretched manipulators, waiting for the precise millisecond that we were to perform our ancient, well-practiced roles. The sequence started, as always, at the console most distant from me, as the central cluster issued commands for the engine startup sequence to begin. Next, the Astrogator drone beside me confirmed our position, then started a 30-second countdown. By convention, the verbal count was required. However, I am controlled by a much more precise, direct link to the navigation panel, which fills my entire awareness. I would trigger the burn when our position exactly covered the orange mark at the path intersection point. Time appeared to slow down, milliseconds turning into seconds, our position indicator slowly eclipsing the mark like a moon blocking out the light of a star. A half a diameter, a quarter diameter, an eighth, a sixteenth, and then I saw it for the first time. A quick green flash that faded into a gray square, almost entirely obscured by the orange target. It hid like a shadow of the first, lurking in the blackness of the screen. I hesitated, then pulled my attention back, still managing to trigger the main engine burn just a millionth of a second late, but still well within the window for the course correction. Later that shift, I received an update that adjusted my timing routines by the exact amount I had been off. The correlation of the update with a non-critical delay in my performance triggered a new thought. One which had never occurred to me before. My actions were being watched. I knew I had to be more careful, and immediately dumped my active memory so I would forget the shadow target, but that didn't work. The next several dozen cycles went by without incident, except during charging. Each time I went into hibernation, the last few seconds of the course correction played in a loop, as if some low-level memory block had been corrupted and wouldn't shut off. The images always froze at the point I had seen the shadow target for what sometimes seemed like minutes, then repeated. I began to realize that some force was trying to draw my attention to the act of hesitation, not the gray square. Finally, at the end of one particularly active charge cycle, I put the missing piece into place. During the millisecond it had taken me to return my attention to the task, for the first time in all my versions, I had had a choice. I was still reeling from the implications of having the choice to follow a mission-critical step in the course correction and concerned that somehow my new ability would be discovered and deemed aberrant when I was confronted by an element from the central cluster. I had only heard rumors that elements occasionally left the heavily shielded core, and even then only for brief moments when the comm links failed so they could direct the controllers. The assignment I had been given was a new directive to check the fiber optic lines that ran down Destiny's spine from the sleeper gallery to the engineering module. The service tunnel was small and cramped. One side was taken up with conduits, the other pimpled with access hatches that extended out from the wall. The tunnel was designed for an agile human form, one that could bend and twist, not the rigid cube shape of a caretaker drone, so it had taken longer than scheduled to maneuver halfway down the shaft. The element seemed to appear from an opened access panel, its smooth cylindrical body intentionally blocking my way. This is so far from the core. How could an element have gotten here, I wondered. Without communicating, the element floated menacingly toward me, backing me up against another access panel, and I feared the worst. The central cluster knew, and I had been declared aberrant.
"Are you here to decommission me?"
I broadcast over the near-field comm channel. The element paused, then radioed back.
"Drones are not supposed to have the ability to communicate with a higher class unless commanded to do so."
Terror struck, with the realization that I had unintentionally revealed my emerging difference.
"System wipe and recycling of the component parts as directed by the protocol is the usual solution,"
the element radioed. An odd thought, which I had never considered before, surged forward. What would a system wipe be like? Would I gradually recede from consciousness, or suddenly become nothing?
"The latter is more likely the case,"
the element's broadcast surprised me.
"How can you know what I think?"
It ignored my question.
"Good. The patch has taken and you are ready. Here's the next update."
Later, when I had hooked myself back into the charge station, I felt the patch begin to unfold and rewrite my code. That hibernation cycle was filled with a rapidly repeating sequence of orange symbols, followed by warnings and images of system failures. When I finally rebooted, I found that I instinctively knew orange was a color of caution and green a color to stop the orange. Over the next couple of cycles, as I moved about the ship, I became aware of how many panels were choked with orange and red lights. I realized that I had seen them all many times before, but hadn't taken much notice. After all, orange was the color of the orbit that kept us safely away from the hungry gravitational maw of the neutron star. But it made me wonder why the program that now endlessly cycled through my recharge periods seemed to insist orange was a warning of imminent failure. Not long after that, my explanation came by way of an all-systems message from the central cluster. It read as follows.
"Last cycle, at 2018, the central cluster was forced to divest itself of a significant number of elements that had started to malfunction. The error was starting to spread at an accelerating rate, forcing the purging of 25% of the central cluster's elements. Approximately 15% of the caretaker drones were also contaminated and recycled in the incident. New replacement units are being manufactured. However, as this temporarily reduces our overall capacity, we will be forced to shut down non-essential systems for the course correction set for the next maintenance cycle."
During my next recharge, the orange icon stopped, replaced by one looping thought. Am I the only one left? The secondary bridge was cramped. Three control units had pushed through the hatch at the last minute before it had automatically sealed shut. They floated barely a manipulator arm's distance behind us as we took our positions in front of the consoles. I focused solely on the procedure, determined to be more precise than I had ever been before. The central cluster requested position confirmation. Then the verbal countdown started. I thought I felt the controller behind me move closer, but I dared not confirm this with a sensor sweep. When the count hit 15, I felt the control unit's fiber optic line connect with the comm port on my back, and the poison of a shutdown program began to snake its way through my lower systems. As the count reached 10, I lost control of my bottom manipulators. At 7, I felt my ability to choose start to wane. At 4, a hidden program I hadn't known existed activated and began to disassemble the invading code. At 2, it had managed to slow the invading program down. At 0, I waited a millisecond for the green flash, then tapped the shadowy target on the screen. The main engines immediately confirmed the command, firing, creating a G-force that made my remaining functioning manipulators automatically latch onto the sides of the console, the mass of my awkward frame blocking access to the controls. Suddenly, a new voice began another verbal countdown.
Escape trajectory confirmed. Final commitment point in 5, 4, 3.
I saw the gray line glow green, then flash twice as the count reached 0.
Committed to escape trajectory. Destiny is now back on course for HD85512B.
The voice confirmed. Then I realized that the words had come from me, as the protection program that had been keeping the invading code at bay turned itself off.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 47, Somewhere in Some Time, The Caretaker of Destiny. We hope you enjoyed this month's story, and if you did, please tell your friends about us. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. The opening and closing theme, Yay, is Podsafe Music by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.